When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio.
You've been letting the good times roll here on Freddie and Harry. Amber and Ian filling in for the guys tonight. You can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me at Amber W Sports. Freddie and Harry is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. We've talked NFL draft. We've talked Dallas Cowboys. We've talked a whole lot about disgusting food incidents. If you missed any of that, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. But let's get you ready for tonight, because we've got some serious NBA action headed your way. Suns and T-Wolves will tip off at 7:30 p.m. The coverage of that game will start right here on ESPN Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can hear the game on your ESPN Radio stations. You've got Pacers and Bucks at 8:30 tonight, and Mavs Clippers at 10 p.m. Eastern tonight. So, Ian, the obvious place to start then is from these three teams that are down 0-1, the Suns, the Pacers, and the Mavs. Which one of those teams do you think is the most likely to even it up tonight?
I'm going to go Pacers, just because Vegas is begging you to take the Bucks. They're only a one-point favorite. We all saw game one. Dame goes off. He was Dame time. And, you know, that's just that doesn't smell right. Going back to half our show today, talking about, you know, what would you do for what would you risk life and limb for to eat one particular food? And then we got to horrible food stories. Well, this one stinks. It smells like a rotten fish or that deep fried turkey that was left in that dude's trunk down in New Orleans. I mean, I can't figure out why the Bucks would be favored in this game coming into game two against the Pacers. So, by that low of a number, I mean, I thought it'd be 3.5 to 4, and it's right now on ESPN bet, Milwaukee -1. So they are begging you. I mean, dude, man, begging you to take Milwaukee. That's why I like Indiana. No rhyme or reason other than has nothing to do with Halliburton, nothing to do with Dame, just the one simple fact that Vegas is trying to get you to back one side. And a lot, and 7 out of 10 times when that happens, it does not happen. It doesn't hit.
So the Bucks are still not going to have Giannis, who was listed as questionable. He's been downgraded. He's out again tonight. And there was a conversation as we headed into the postseason, and we found out, of course, about the Giannis injury. Is Damian Lillard going to be able to carry that load? And the answer during the regular season, frankly, was no, at least not the way that we expected. It was not day and time all the time for the Milwaukee Bucks by any means. But then certainly it was in game one against the Pacers, at least in the first half. He dropped 35 on them in the first half. The problem is, then he laid a goose egg in the final 24 minutes of that game. And so, yes, he had done enough in the first half for the Bucks to end up surviving that game. It caught a lot of people off guard, because if you can win games without Giannis, then you're sitting pretty. So, of course, now people are going to overreact. But I tend to lean with you. Now, I don't know if I believe in the Pacers the way that you do, because you chose the Pacers, I believe, before the series even started.
To win,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I had, and a lot of that is the matchup going back to the regular season. They won 4 out of 5. And, you know, Siakam, Miles Turner, Halliburton, when they're rolling, I mean, in this particular matchup, you know, and look, at this time of year, it's all about matchups in a 7-game series.
Right.
And like the Lakers don't match up with Denver. Well, I thought Indiana did match up with Milwaukee. Game one, I could not have been more incorrect. I was a basketball buffoon. But I'm expecting, again, just because Milwaukee is such a short favorite, only favored by 1, 1.5, depending on the time you get it. I mean, that just reeks to me. That's why I like Indiana in game two.
Yeah, it obviously, Damian Lillard is going to be expected to reproduce what he did in game one and what he did in the first half of game one. It's a lot for him to shoulder. Now, at the same time, it's why Milwaukee traded for you. It's why you were brought in there in part, not for necessarily the absence of Dame, but also you're a superstar in your own right. You were the number one on your old team for so many years. It was Dame time. So theoretically, you should be in a position where you can shoulder the load, where you can try to survive it, where you can step up and be the best player on the court in that matchup at any given time. He was that in game one. don't know if I see that same magic happening here in game two. I think that they need Giannis back in order to win this series. But more than that, even if they get past the Pacers with or without Giannis, Ian, I don't have any belief in the Bucks moving forward. I just don't. Like, it for Milwaukee, it is championship or bust. It's not get past the Pacers. It's not get past the first round. I realize we've seen them struggle with that at times recently. But it should be win an actual championship and not just a conference championship. And this team, throughout the regular season, throughout the tenure here, since Doc took over the role there at head coach, it has not seemed like a team that would be capable of doing that, even with a healthy Giannis. Forget about now.
Yeah, and look, they've proven in the past that they can win it all. But
that was
with Giannis healthy, you know, and Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis. You know, we all watched it. You know, now Middleton was great in game one, Portis was great in game one, Dame was exceptional, especially as you mentioned in the first half. I'm just looking for the Pacers, especially with Rick Carlisle. I mean, Rick Carlisle is an unbelievable tactician, and so I'm looking to see the Pacers throw a wrinkle or two at Milwaukee they didn't see in game one to overcome, which was a horrendous first half. I mean, especially that second quarter. I mean, it was like they just said, to hell with it. We're done. And then in the second half, they actually showed some form of a competitive nature to them. But it's like, go back to the late game tonight with the Mavericks. What the hell was that in game one? And you and I were talking to former players, analysts like Alan Hahn, who were sitting there going, look, man, Dallas is a legit threat to Denver in the West. And forget failure to compete in game one. It was a failure to show up in game one. I mean, we had Andre Snelling's on with us earlier, and Dre said they looked like the Dallas Cowboys against the Green Bay Packers, where, I mean, just completely forget, again, FTC, failure to compete. It was literally failure to show up. They didn't even get off the damn bus.
The Cowboys comparison is such a perfect one.
It is.
With what the Cowboys did there against Green Bay, where you knew the Cowboys were the better team, obviously, throughout the regular season. They win their division. You're coming in with expectations. And then immediately out of the gate in the postseason, they just don't even bother in their own stadium to show up to the game. And that's what it felt like here for a Dallas Mavericks team that, like you said, I think it was Alan Hahn who called them as the best team in the West over the T-Wolves and over the Nuggets. And a lot of people felt like that because of the way that, in particular, Kawhi and Luka were playing down the stretch. And then they go against a Clippers team without Kawhi Leonard. I mean, this is a different conversation. If Kawhi Leonard's there, it's not nearly as embarrassing. This is a Clippers team without Kawhi Leonard. So against James Harden and Paul George, they fell behind by as many as 29 points in that game. I don't know how to explain it. It was very, very bizarre. It was incredibly uncompetitive, and I honestly do not understand why.
Look, I live in Dallas, Texas, and everybody here and that are Mavs fans or Mavs analysts, whether you're on the broadcast crew or local sports talk radio or in the local fish wraps that do still exist in a limited capacity, meaning that would be newspapers.
I was wondering what the heck a fish wrap was. I mean, it makes sense. They wrap the fish in it, like in Seattle, where they throw it in.
Yeah, it's a fish wrap.
Pike's Market newspaper. Or whatever.
Yeah, those were little things that you used to sit down in the morning with a cup of coffee, your breakfast, and read this thing called a newspaper. And it was a blast. I really miss newspapers.
It was not a blast.
That's I love
so
the newspaper.
Overstated. There was nothing a blast about it.
Look, you can't tell me my opinion on something because I actually loved it. Now, you may have hated it, but I loved the morning paper.
Overstate these things.
Nope,
it's like,
I loved
it. Was
it.
So much fun.
Absolutely loved it.
Newspapers were so fun. It's like, they were.
And you know where the first thing that I used to read when I got to the sports section? I went straight to the betting lines. Bam!
Okay.
What do we got?
That's why you liked it.
I mean, and then you get to the stories and everything else and the columns and the opinions. But bottom line is, man, this Mavs bunch, nobody can figure it out. And you know what's scary for the Mavs tonight? They're an underdog.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to, again, Milwaukee, right? And being just a slight favorite on ESPN Bet right now, the Clippers, with Kawhi still listed as questionable, are a 1.5-point favorite right now against a desperate Mavs team.
The problem with the Mavs was the supporting cast around Luka and Kyrie. Now, Luka and Kyrie put up 64 points combined in that game, but the rest of the starting lineup put up only 14 points combined. The bench added another 19 points. You're not going to win any games if that's all you get out of the rest of the roster. As good as Luka and Kyrie have been this season, you need somebody else to step up a little bit. And the Mavericks looked like a team without depth, again, against a Clippers team that did not have Kawhi Leonard. That's what's so incredible about it to me, is that it was that performance against that team. But I do think that this is a bit of an overreaction. And you said it there, it's a problem in terms of the Mavericks with the betting line. We see these overreactions. We're seeing it in the Sun series as well. I heard Joe Fortenbaugh talking about it on Carlin versus Joe today, where the betting line in the Suns series, there's a significant overreaction there with the Suns now in a hole. And this is what we do with these holes where they're only down a game, right? And we've only seen one game in the series, because anybody can have a bad game in one singular game. This thing is stretching out. This thing has a lot more games. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. And with the Dallas Mavericks, I think both you and I felt very strongly that they were going to be the better team without Kawhi out there for the Clippers, or even if Kawhi's out there, he wouldn't be full strength, and we don't know when he's coming back, frankly. That, you know, it's been strange about their injury this whole time. I mean, heck, I don't even know if his coach, frankly, knows what's exactly happening there with Kawhi Leonard's injury. But when he does come back, presumably, probably won't be 100%. That Dallas Mavericks team was 100% down the stretch. I'm not going to overreact too much like the betting lines are to just a one-game sample, even if it was ugly.
By the way, this just came down, staying with the NBA, with Amber Wilson, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio. The NBA has now ruled, this from our man Tim Bontemps, that Tyrese Maxey was fouled not once but twice in that melee at the end of the game. So this goes back to what
Don't
LeBron
you feel
was talking
Sixers
about.
Sixers fans.
Right. And see, this does nothing. Zero. Zilch. This is like the NFL coming back going, our bad. We missed that. That you know, whatever. Name a awful holding penalty or a late hit on a quarterback that leads to, you know, a pick six because the ball got batted in the air, and you come back going, our bad. We looked at it. Yep. It was clear and obvious, you know, roughing the quarterback, but damn, or a guy stepped out of bounds, but we missed it. Our bad. Sorry you lost in that pick six. This is what LeBron was talking about with the replay center. What the hell's going on? And that's why in a bigger picture, broader picture, Amber, man, the UFL has got it right, and that is complete transparency, especially with wagering being mainstream and legal, that you have to be able, in the NBA, in the NFL, big-time college football, big-time college basketball, every major sport, MLB, NHL, be transparent when you're a replay center, like the UFL is, where they don't – it's not just a challenge from a coach that is being replayed. Everything is being watched. And the replay center in the UFL can stop a play or stop the next play because they want to take a longer look at something without, you know, an official saying anything, without a coach's challenge. That needs to be implemented in the transparent avenue of it, where you have the mic and the open cameras and you get to see the process of why D'Angelo Russell and that foul from Michael Porter Jr. on his face, called a foul on the floor, but then overturned by the replay center. Well, why? I'd love to damn know. And if they're transparent, you would know. And right here, why didn't the replay center look at the Maxey foul? Well, I mean, that's something that every
well, I don't think
single
you can call
league
non-fouls, right?
You can't know.
The replay center doesn't address non-fouls.
But that's where you should be able to, like the UFL does. That's why I gave an explanation where the whistle may not have blown, but when you go to the next dead ball, hey, we're going to back to take a look at this.
Yeah, but then what are you doing? You're going back and replaying the game. Like, you're going back and in hindsight, then you're issuing the foul. In basketball, it's much
more
difficult.
Maybe that wouldn't even work in basketball, but there needs to be, one, more accountability. I think that's what LeBron is talking about. And the replay center just needs to be transparent. Put the damn camera and mics in there.
But LeBron was complaining about a call from the third quarter. And the reality is that the NBA has tried to be transparent here, but they're only being transparent in the last 2 minutes, which is why we get this honesty from the NBA about Tyrese Maxey and how there should have been two calls there that should have helped them out in that spot. But at the same time, great, there's transparency and what? You know, like, it doesn't actually make – right, like, it doesn't
make
any –
you're still down 0-2.
It doesn't change anything. It doesn't make Sixers fans feel any better. And the reality is, with basketball, it's such a fast sport. And officiating is so fast. And if you were stopping it every time you wanted to take a look at something or review something, I mean, in that sport, it would be really difficult to implement. I do agree with you. In football, and it's the way that the U.S. has been able to do it, there are some added advantages there where you do have breaks in between plays and it's a lot easier to review things. The NFL ain't ever doing it, Ian. You and I can both agree that it would be a great thing. I mean, I would just love to know the process, not even to get angry at it, but just, I think if you were, if you showed the process, if you were that level of transparent,
how'd they get to that conclusion?
I actually think people would realize how damn hard it is and why these sports are all so hard to officiate. And there is nuance, and there is, it's not, you know, if it's just cut and dry and easy peasy, then they're not taking much time anyways. But a lot of these things, I think, are closer calls than people realize. And it would be really interesting to have a window into that internal debate there and for the replay center.
Yeah. And again, these are these our bad moments in sports? To me, it just drives a fan base or a team even more over the top and angrier or dejected, whichever way you want to go, whatever negative connotation you want to assign to it, it fits. Because, it, to your point, it did nothing. Our bad, we missed not one but two calls.
Like,
sorry to hear about it. Moving on to game three. Does nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I do
The only thing it does maybe a little bit, which I think was the purpose, right, is it's holding the officials accountable to an extent. And they're supposed to be anyways, taking note of the missed calls and kind of factoring that in on who gets put on what games in the postseason, that kind of thing. But really, at the end of the day, it doesn't feel good for any of us on the outside looking. It's not really feeling like it's accomplishing anything for us. Maybe embarrassing that officiating crew a little bit. Chad Brown from ESPN Radio, three-time Pro Bowl linebacker, was on Greeny today, and he says that sports has an officiating crisis.
At this point, I think almost every major sport is in an officiating crisis. I think the technology just makes it so easy for us at home to see exactly what happened, what could have happened. And in the past, there just wasn't as many cameras. We just couldn't see things as well. I also think, even though I'm not a person who goes into conspiracy theories and buys into all of that, I think it even, for me, it chips away at my respect and my deference to that group of people within each league and their ability to call a game accurately. All leagues have to come up with ways to increase the public perception and confidence in their officiating.
And that goes to what we were just talking about, Amber. Transparency. Turn the cameras on. Turn the mic on.
And he's right, though. It's the reason that we're all Monday morning quarterbacks is because of technology. We can all see. There's 37 camera angles that are fed to all of us now. We can all see it. The officials are standing on the court trying to call it in real time without any angles, right? And without any camera angles. They are doing it in real time. We're seeing it in slow motion from 10 different angles. And so, of course, that makes the discrepancy look even worse than it once was. I don't think that the officiating's worse. I tend to agree with Chris there. I think it's that we are more aware of it because of the technology that's available to us.
I have a question for you guys real quick.
Yeah, DK?
How come in tennis they have the technology that shows you within a centimeter if the ball is out of bounds, but in NFL we're still using chains to determine a first down?
That's an excellent question.
Why hasn't the NFL developed the technology to get this? Like, the tennis does it all, and it's incredible. The game, it takes 15 seconds, and they know.
There's a company in Frisco, Texas. I think they're based in Frisco. If I got the city wrong, my fault. That, you know, NFL quarterbacks and major college quarterbacks can actually have a mold of their hand made and to league specs just kind of mold the football that they like the best just a little bit more than anybody else. And that same company has done the research to try and put chips at the tip of each football to be able to truly accurately spot a ball.
Oh, technology exists. The problem is they have to want to use it. It's like the same fights that we have in baseball all the time.
Well,
the technology exists for these things to take a lot of the officiating out of the game and leave it up to computers, but a lot of people are against doing that.
Well, I love the human element. I never want to take that out. But, like again, going back to the UFL, they have that eye in the sky, which can, you know, within an inch or half an inch, whatever it is, maybe even centimeters, spot how far the ball did go. There's not a chip in the balls, right? But this thing, It's way beyond my, you know, education level and pay grade for that matter, but it is pretty damn accurate. And so, DK, to your point, there is technology that's being worked on and bantered about. It's just not being implemented into the game. But I never want to take the human element out of the game. I just think that the replay centers, replay booths should be more transparent.
Coming up next here on Freddie and Harry with Amber and Ian filling in for the guys, the Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. He doubled, triple, quadrupled down on his remark that the Cowboys are, in fact, all in. He's trying to convince us of it. Are we convinced? That's next on ESPN Radio.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're rolling along here on Freddie and Harry. Amber and Ian filling in. You can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys. Ian, you're in Dallas. You know we can't go more than a couple days without talking about Dallas, right? But Jerry Jones is going to make sure that we are forever talking about his franchise, no matter what it takes. And sometimes it takes Jerry Jones just saying a whole lot of nonsense. And all offseason, he's been telling us that the Cowboys are all in. So now he's doubling down and tripling down on the whole all in thing. And he's doing it in the most Jerry speak and Jerry way. Take a listen.
We're very proud of our personnel, very proud of this roster. Very much think this roster, without knowing right now how much the rookies are going to contribute. We're very, very feel good about the promise of the team that we're going to have this year with this roster. We will have young players step up, no names that become names, because names have left, and so those guys have got to step up. You cannot play and run a team in the NFL without counting on this dynamic going on. So we're in an ambiguous business when it comes to projecting, but how do we feel about where we've been in this free agency? We feel great about what we've been in free agency. All in. All in. All in. We're all in with these young guys coming on. And we're all in with this draft.
I like the laughing response there.
Did somebody give him slip him some peyote? I mean, what the hell was, again, this is Jerry just kind of meandering along in this endless stream of thought going, no names that have names but aren't names. Because they're
all in. All in. All in. We're all in.
They're all in.
Step up. We aren't in the business of projecting, but we feel good. We're all in. We're all in.
Feel good about what you did in free agency? You brought in Eric Hendricks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's about it.
He did nothing in free agency. What are you feeling good about? And then he goes on to say, well, we feel good about the young guys in the draft. Okay. So does all 32.
I mean, it is truly remarkable. Whenever Jerry gets to talking, I mean, you have no earthly idea where you're going on this ride. I mean, he's had some zingers. We all know that. I mean, go back to like 2014. His opening comments at Cowboy training camp in Oxnard, California, where, you know, they're again, back then, he's been all in since 1996, right? And he haven't done a damn thing. They haven't sniffed an NFC championship game. And I can't tell you, I mean, you have, like, we're coming up on a second generation since the last time the Cowboys were in an NFC championship game. But the zingers this dude comes out with, like, again, the meandering there of no names that have names that could be names. And we were, you know, we went deep in free agency and we're happy about it. Or on the stage, opening comments, Oxnard 10 years ago, hit it, DK, one of your favorites. Yep.
Here I want me some glory hole.
What? Jerry, what are you talking about? What?
I want me some glory hole.
Okay, is that an oil term? I mean, that, you know, is that when you strike oil and that means you won the Super Bowl? I mean, like, what?
Not what comes to my mind when I hear the term glory hole.
So, this is Jerry again meandering around. You know what it reminded me of, Amber?
Well, hold on. I don't know. It depends what's about to come out of your mouth. Just remember, we're on Disney radio right now. What does it remind you of?
No, that 54-second clip that we just played of Jerry, I'm talking about no names that have names, and
oh,
it was
God.
Just kind
okay.
of this you know endless stream of thought that he had where there's zero censor from brain to mouth. It reminds me of one of my favorite moments whenever we get to call a Texas Longhorn football game in a big game. Matthew McConaughey's always there. And it's one of our favorite moments because you really don't know what he's going to say. Like, here's a little clip. DK found this in Shannon Penn. This is McConaughey from the Sugar Bowl college football playoff semifinal, Texas, Washington. Hit it.
I'm here with Matthew McConaughey, Longhorn fan and one of the ambassadors for the University of Texas. Matthew, what is it about a great game of college football that you love so much?
I mean, look, it's the front porch game sport in America. And everybody's got to go play their best individual game. Still, it's a team sport. Everyone's got a position. Put it like some great coach do. Everyone's got a job to do. It's a great balance of you got to be committed upstairs, you got to be committed in spirit, and you got to be committed between the legs of what you do out there and your commitment of the game. It's not a contact sport. It's a collision sport. But you got to be smart about it, too. It's a great combination. When all those three things are balanced, that's when you see great teams play great and win.
Okay. And we got McConaughey there. Now hit Jerry again.
All in. All in. All in. We're all in.
All right, all right, all right.
All right.
Just kind of, you got to kind of follow along like a boat going down a stream, right, Amber? Just kind of.
Riding the wave.
Yeah, just take the oars out of the water, put them in the boat, and see where you go.
It's all a bunch of coach speak. Right? I mean, it's like just nonsense on top of nonsense wrapped in nonsense, where the best coaches with the best coach speak will rattle your ear off and not say anything for 10 whole minutes.
Yeah.
And not say a damn word. That's what Jerry Jones is doing. And that's what Matthew McConaughey was doing as well. But that's what Jerry Jones is doing as the owner of the Cowboys. And the reality is, you're not saying a word because nothing has happened. Like, he can't actually say anything of substance about the Cowboys this offseason. They haven't done anything to write home about. They haven't done anything to talk about. They can't even get their damn quarterback extended, Ian.
Yeah, let's touch on that in a moment. But I forgot about one line there from McConaughey. How do you get a line from mind, spirit, and the nethers? I mean, what does that have to do with football?
Didn't he explain it? Something like, about collision sport.
Toughness and collision sport and contact.
And okay. You got it balanced. The mind.
Mind. Holy Trinity when it comes nethers. To football. Right there. Mm-hmm. There you go. There it is. Mind, spirit,
there's
nethers.
Life advice, I suppose.
Yes, it could be. Yeah. I mean, he's a big philosopher type. Yeah, so I mean, that could be great life advice. That's what you get from people like McConaughey and Jerry Jones, right? I mean, if you really dig deep and talk it out, Miss Wilson, you just figured it out. That is great, not just football, but life advice
life
from Matthew McConaughey
advice.
Right there.
Balancing your mind and your – take a listen. Play it again, DK. Here's Matthew McConaughey.
Do you have just the short clip?
I'm here with Matthew McConaughey, Longhorn fan and one of the ambassadors for the University of Texas. Matthew, what is it about a great game of college football that you love so much?
I mean, look, it's the front porch game sport in America.
Front porch.
And you got – everybody's got to go play their best individual game. but still it's a team sport. Everyone's got a position. Put it like some great coach do. Everyone's got a job to do. It's a great balance of you got to be committed upstairs, you got to be committed in spirit, and you got to be committed between the legs of what you do out there and your commitment of the game. It's not a contact sport. It's a collision sport. But you got to be smart about it, too. It's a great combination. When all those three things are balanced, that's when you see great teams play great and win.
I want me some glory hole.
You've got to be balanced and committed upstairs in spirit and between your legs.
He's the best. He's the greatest. I look so forward to calling Longhorn games, man, and big ones, right? Because you know he's going to be there, and he's always more than gracious with his time, and you don't know what the hell you're going to get, man. It is phenomenal. And to your point, the philosopher in him comes out every now and then, and he's kind of that's great advice to walk through life. Got to be, yeah, those three right there.
You have to be balanced. You have to be balanced.
Yeah,
with your mind and your nethers, as you said, upstairs and between your legs. It's all got to be balanced.
And the spirit. Don't forget the spirit there.
And your spirit, of course. Well, that's obviously, man. You got to throw a spirit in there.
It was like
how do
Jerry,
I segue?
I don't know, it's like Jerry was channeling Wooderson, right? I mean, Jerry today in his press conference, his pre-draft presser, was damn near channeling Wooderson from Dazed and Confused, the character of the McConaughey play where you got the all right from, right? He's got a L-I-V-I-N, just keep living. So I would wonder, how would Wooderson describe what the Cowboys have done with Dak Prescott? Can we hear
all
Jerry?
All right.
There we go. Never mind. It's like we go that route. I like that one, DK, even better. Here's
you
Jerry.
Bring it back. You did bring it back to Dak. I'm impressed.
I found a way. Again, meandering. Got to be, aligned. Mind, spirit. Aligned, right? Here we go. Yeah. Here's Jerry channeling Wooderson talking about Dak, how they don't have the same players, but he's still their guy.
Dak has enjoyed in his career that we're proud of some of the best supporting cast that you could put around him. And to move forward, we're going to have to diminish that. That's a fact. That's the rules. And so that's our challenge and to make it work out. Dak, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, I don't even have I can't even blink on that one.
You can't blink on it. He's the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, at least for this season, Ian. Because the reality is he is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys either way. But might not be after this season unless they figure out an extension with that man because he will be a free agent after this season. So Jerry is right, but Jerry is only right in the very short term.
Here's what stood out to me there, and that is we're not able to surround Dak with what we used to. It's diminished. Well, yeah, Jerry, it is. So how can you say that? But in the previous statement, say we're happy with what we accomplished in free agency.
We're all in. Well, he did reference, in fairness to Jerry, he said in there, that's the rules. So he acted like it's the cycle of the game. It's the rules because of the salary cap that naturally, after you surround your quarterback with the best supporting cast, you're not going to be able to maintain it. That's essentially what he was implying. The reality is the rules get much easier to navigate if, in fact, you can work out an extension with Dak Prescott, because then you can take this insane cap hit that Dak has this season and you can spread it out over years.
But Dak
right?
has if to want able. To do that.
But Dak has to yes. play ball. And here's Dak. Dak claiming, the Cowboys quarterback, that becoming the highest paid quarterback is not part of his goal.
No, I'm not trying to be the highest paid, necessarily. So we'll wait till negotiations begin, and so we want to put this team in the best situation. Anytime you've asked me, it's always been about right now, getting better tomorrow. And I've been in this situation before, so it's okay. I'm fine in any situation at that point, betting on myself or playing this year out.
That was Dak catching himself. I'm not trying to be the highest paid. And then he like pauses and thinks about it for a second. And he's like,
"That was a
not necessarily."
That was a long caesura between, right? I'm not looking to be the highest paid.
Necessarily. Because I think once it came out of his mouth, he's like, wait a minute. Actually, that'd be pretty nice if there was a chance.
His agent just had a coronary
paid.
On his couch watching that presser, right? Like, wait, what did you just say?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. His agent was already calling him, already texting him, already blowing up his phone. Well, you don't want to be the highest paid. What are we talking about?
But the bottom line is this, is that Jerry, thankfully, if you're a Cowboy fan, is really no longer calling the football shots, right? It's Will McClay and Stephen Jones and the outstanding scouting department that they have. But they have so many damn needs that everything he said today was complete BS. I mean, because they left tackle, off center, running back. They need another wide receiver. They need a big three technique. They need a Mike linebacker. Mm-hmm. That's off the top of our heads, right? So they are an absolute mess to the point where Jerry takes you through this meandering wilderness, channeling his inner Wooderson. That is the greatness of Matthew McConaughey. Bottom line.
Now, I don't think that they're as much of a mess as you think they are, because I do think that they'll be able to address quite a few of those needs. I expect, what are they, 24 in the first round? I expect them to take an O-lineman there at 24. I mean, there is talent in this draft that certainly they can address some of those needs, and I imagine that they'll try to do that. But in my book, that ain't all in. That's just normal. That's just business as usual is what that is. Amber and Ian hanging out, filling in for the guys here on Freddie and Harry. Freddie and Harry presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next here on ESPN Radio, we've got to find out what is happening in other news. Caitlin Clark, the Jokic brothers fighting in the stands. Taylor Swift is taking followers from Kim Kardashian. There's a lot to get to next on ESPN Radio.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Covered a lot of ground on Freddie and Harry. Amber and Ian, we've been filling in for Freddie and Harry tonight. You can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. If you missed anything here on Freddie and Harry, you can check out the podcast on the ESPN draft, or on the ESPN app, rather. I have draft on my mind because we've talked a lot about the NFL draft. We talked about the Dallas Cowboys. We talked about Matthew McConaughey. We talked about food incidents at length, and they got really disturbing and really disgusting. So you'll definitely want to check it out if you missed any of tonight's show. But right now,
God bless Sal.
Yeah, yes, goodness, Sal. A lot of content from Sal tonight, but we've got to find out what's in other news.
They may not be the top stories of the day
in other news,
but you need to be in the know. This is In Other News.
Caitlin Clark has done it again. She is out here setting records, but this time not on the basketball court, at least not yet, as she is now a member of the WNBA, of course. She's setting records in terms of the bank account, Ian. Caitlin Clark is set to sign a new Nike deal that is valued at $28 million. 8 years, $28 million is what the number one overall pick is being reportedly paid by Nike. That makes her the highest paid women's basketball player by a sponsorship in basketball history.
She earned it, deserved it. The Wall Street Journal also reported that the second highest bid was Under Armour at $16 million, and Adidas came in at $6 million. Nike was not taking any chances. Like, you know what? We are just going to number whip the hell out of you because you were the most popular and recognizable player in all of college basketball, men or women. So I think it's a smart move by Nike just to go ahead and say, you know what, leave no doubt, run it up. And they did, and good for her. Because it drove you and I a little – it annoyed us when so many people were saying, well, she's going to take a pay cut going from Iowa because of all the NIL deals to the WNBA. Well, no, mathematicians, she isn't. She keeps all her endorsements with Gatorade and everything else. But now she just gets a salary to go on top of it, and now she gets $28 million from Nike, and she earned every penny. Good for her.
She doesn't keep her endorsements like they just roll over from college. At least that's not how it works in most states, right? Most states don't even allow it. They have to sign new deals. But like you said, why would those sponsors walk away from her?
They ain't going anywhere.
Probably retaining her sponsors. But then she's also bringing on new ones. And this Nike deal, she had a lot of interest. You mentioned the other companies there. Apparently, the bidding started at $3 million, and Puma walked away immediately when they heard that the bidding was going to start at $3 million, and then Nike ends up here at $18 million, or $28 million over 8 years, $28 million. So unbelievable there for Caitlin Clark. That's just one sponsorship. So she is going to be making bank, even if it's not from the WNBA, because she's only getting $75,000 in terms of salary from the WNBA. We got to get that up as well, but at least she's doing work out there in terms of the sponsorships. The Jokic brothers were also doing work, but a different kind of work. They were doing theirs in the stands. It appeared that Nikola Jokic's brother punched a fan in the stands after Denver's buzzer beater win over the Lakers, 101-99. It was videos that were shared. Of course, they're all over TMZ and other outlets. And it looks like punches a dude in the face, and the dude just takes it. That's what it looks like.
That may be the most impressive part. The NBA and the Denver Nuggets are now investigating, but Jokic's brother is a bigger version of him. He's a lot of man. He's got a mohawk. Mm-hmm. He looks like he – Yeah, I mean, like he can,
without the basketball. He's like Jokic without all the running.
Yeah, he's about 350, and he tattoos this dude apparently. I have to say apparently because it has an investigation, right? Right in the noggin. And he's got higher ground. And coming down on this dude, wham, knocks the snot out of him, and the dude does not drop. That was impressive because that's a lot of human that connected with the left side of this dude's face.
I couldn't tell if he moved just in time backwards or if the punch physically moved him backwards. I could not tell watching the video.
That was skin from fist on face, and that would have caved the entire left side of my face in. I'm done. It's over.
That dude's a real one for taking it, and also for having the wherewithal to not go back at Jokic.
Great point.
Frankly,
right there.
I kind of think that dude's a real man. I know that's a weird thing to say when it's like normally we would say that about like the dude who's actually starting the fight. I feel like it's the dude who takes the punch and then has the wherewithal.
In this instance, 100%.
Yes. 100%. To not go back at him. The willpower in that moment to not go back because you recognize what you'd be going back at.
Wham!
And that ain't a good idea.
That's an oldie.
So now the NBA is investigating. We'll see if the Jokic brothers are still invited to watch Denver Nuggets games. That will be very interesting to see if the Jokic brothers end up getting banned from his games. Apparently, Kim Kardashian is losing followers, like hundreds of thousands of followers.
After some Taylor Swift diss, this is in the purple section of the USA Today, following the release of Taylor Swift's new song, Thank You, Amy, where the K in thank and the I am an Amy are all capitalized, spelling out Kim. Kim Kardashian, I guess, threw out some shade toward Taylor Swift, and now she loses hundreds of thousands of Instagram followers. Why? Because the Swifties just went after her, or left her, whichever way.
But also, do the Swifties not aware that these two have beef stemming back to Kanye West getting on stage and trying to rip that award away from Taylor Swift to give it to Beyonce? Remember that whole thing with the Grammys?
No.
Oh, wow. You know what?
Does
you were not the person
you?
I should be asked. No. In fact, that was my bad. I'm going to take responsibility for that. Coming up next here on ESPN Radio, Timberwolves Suns Game 2 headed your way.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry Podcast.